Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Hello. How you doing? Good. Cool. So we've heard lots already this morning, which is incredibly exciting. I'm going to read scripture for the third time, but at the end. I'll wait till the end, shall I? So, you know, you can't say you haven't heard Hebrews 12 today. Cool. So hopefully, actually, what God is about to do now will enable us, ready for Thursday, to be brimming with worship and to be full of it. That is the aim. Jesus, sort it out. So I don't really have a preach today as such, but I'd like to share what I feel God is saying to the church at this time, coming into especially Days of Favour. Days of Favour is, if you like, the beginning of a new church year for us. So we just had the summit birthday. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. We just had the summit birthday for the third year. Sorry, I'm looking at Brian, I should know this. For the third year. And so we're just coming into a new church year. So we've got new church events coming up. We've got just a new vision, if you like. Days of Favour is a time to pray, is a time to hear from God and to say, what do you want, God? What is your kingdom going to look like now? What is going to happen in the summit, in Scarborough, in our nation? What is it that you want, not what we want? And I feel all God wants to say today is trust. Okay? So here's saying to trust him, okay? It's really simple, and we've heard it a lot, and we know that we're to trust what he is saying and who he is, but coming into it, we are to trust, okay? He's our Father. He's our Father. I almost feel like I don't need to say anything. He just wants us to trust him, okay? So this week, as we pray and as we fast, some people, I don't know, I know we do in our household, we fast the week before, if you like, Days of Favour. So we come into it and we're ready. And we've got, you know, we've been hearing from God, we've been devoting our lives to him, and we're ready to pray and to seek and to go into something, okay? Yeah, you don't, I was saying to Dan the other day about fasting, I was like, right, okay, Monday, that's it, kitchen is closed, we're fasting for the week, and he was like, right, okay, not an issue, but bless him, he's my husband, he loves me, he gets a little bit concerned, especially with two children, I tend to lose weight quite quickly, so he was like, I don't think you should fast. I was like, okay, fair enough, I'm not going to argue with that, I'm not going to argue. I was like, how about I fast my evening snackages. I have a tendency on an evening when I put my children to bed, I do my washing up, I put the washing in, I do my jobs, and I make a bucket of tea. This is all coming out now, this is the truth of the Abel household. I make a bucket of tea, I sit down with a bar of chocolate, and I'd like to say just a bar of chocolate, but I sit down with a bar of chocolate, and I tend to devour it. And you're like, oh my word, I know, here we go. But I do this quite a lot. And so at least, yeah, 4 evenings out of 7, I'd say. So I was like, I'm going to fast my evening snackages. There will be no evening snackages in my house. And for me, this is a really big deal. It sounds really stupid. And I'm not, if you like, a chocoholic, I can't give it up. But it's a really big deal because it's my time. And that's my moment of pleasure, of indulgence, without my children, without doing anything. Dan's usually here working, and it's just me and the sofa and a bucket of tea and my chocolate. I switch everything off. I do absolutely nothing. And I'm like, right, 1 hour before I get to bed because I'm up at 5. Let's just do nothing. But actually, that's my time to devote my life. That's my time to come before God and say, yeah, you're far more important. Your kingdom is worth more to me than me sitting on my butt, drinking tea, which I really value, and eating chocolate, which I value even more. It's time to say, yeah, God. Yeah, I want to come next week with an expectancy in my heart, with a knowing of a truth of who my Father is and what my Father has to bring into this congregation, into our town and into our nation. I want to come and corporately worship and say, right, I believe this is what God is saying, and I'm going to verbalize it because I believe it, because I spent time saying, okay, God, I'm sacrificing something for you. I want to hear. I want to know. I want to understand. So I feel our mindsets need to be in that place of devotion, that place of I'm hungry for you, that place of I'm going to give something of my own because I want to devote my life to you. I want to hear what you're saying, God. And I think devotion is a really, really big word. I've heard quite a lot of it recently in the last kind of 4 months or so. You know, be devoted to the Lord, devote your lives. And I'm like, that's a really scary word, to devote myself, my whole self, my being, my mind, my strength, my emotions. Like, these are big, scary things to just hand over and say, okay, I trust them to you. Devote my children to God. I have to entrust them to him. I can't do it. Every day we make it up. If it works, we do it again. If it doesn't, we don't do that. If we cause tears, we know that's a bad parenting skill and we walk away from it. The next day we try something new. This is how it works in my life. And I'm just being very simple, very honest, very... I don't want to patronize you and I don't want to talk to you as if you're five, but I want to be so simple and so honest that we walk away going, I get it. I can actually walk out of here and do something with what was said today. I can actually walk out of here and my heart is ready because I understand what was said. Okay, sorry, this keeps switching off. This isn't helpful, is it? Should just write it all down. But then I wouldn't appreciate the gift I was given. So I'm like, oh, let's use it. Anyway, devotion. Okay, I'm going to say I think, okay, because I don't want to judge, I don't want to accuse, I don't want to say anything. I don't think devotion is saying, right, okay, 10 minutes this morning, I'm going to do my reading, my devotional, whatever. I'm going to give you 5-10 minutes out of my life, Lord. I'm going to pray because I have a list of prayers that I say every single day and I give them to God every single day. I think that's great and I think that's super, but I think that's what you're devoted to. Devotion is coming in front of God, surrendering absolutely everything you are and saying, nothing else matters. You are everything. Yeah? I don't care how long this is going to take. I don't care, okay, about, well, I do care about reading the Bible, but I don't care about repeating things. I care about just seeking your presence, sitting in your presence, hearing what you have to say to me, and responding. Yeah? Devotion is, it's a hard thing. I think it's a very, it is an incredibly personal thing, and it's a lowering yourself in his presence. It's a offering yourself. It's a hungering after him. It's you becoming less and him becoming more in your life. It is saying, that is what is important to me. You're entering God's presence and you're saying, what do you want, God? Not, what do I need? Not, this is what I want to see. Not, God, come on, God, I want to see this in our town. God, why haven't you healed this person? That's not devotion. Devotion is, oh, what do you want? What is your word for now? What is the Rhema word of God saying right now that I can speak out? And because it's now, it will happen. Yes, God wants to heal. Yes, God provides. Yes, God gives you everything. However, if he's saying something now and we're not responding, it's not going to happen. And the other things, he's like, but hang on, I want to do this. Devotion. Shutting ourselves off from ourselves, lowering ourselves in his presence. And saying, what do you want? Yeah? If you completely devote yourself to him, Will you still be you? I believe you'll still be you. Yeah? In choosing to become nothing, listen to this, you ready? In choosing to become nothing, we become everything we were ever meant to be. In lowering ourselves completely and saying, God, I am nothing, you are everything, we become everything we were ever meant to be. Because we are by his design. We are by his creation. So actually, we'll be much better off to just devote and become nothing. Okay? This is how I believe Thursday, Friday will be. We will be just in the presence of God, worshipping. There will be no agenda, there will be no... I'm saying this, I don't know. But this is what I believe. For me and the church, there will just be a surrender of who we are as a church, as a building, as people. You know, I believe this will be over an individual thing and a corporate thing. There will be a God. We are nothing. You are everything. Take everything and do what you want to do. There will be a lowering in his presence. There will be a silence of just Jesus. And an almighty presence of, whoa, okay, we know that we've met with God. We know that we've just experienced the Holy One. And we know we've received his word about our purpose, our visions, our destinies as individuals and as a church. Sunday morning, there'll be a, this is where we're going, church. Let's get on with it. We'll have victory over our purpose. We'll know what's going on and we'll be seeing the end result. Do you get what I mean? Are you following me? I hope so. Anyway, let's use some scripture. In Jeremiah, that's always good, isn't it? 18. So Jeremiah 18, we're going to verse 5. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you in my hand, O house of Israel. This is a moulding time. Okay, this is a... I don't know how old Dave and Lizzie, I don't know. Maybe Josh. This is a jelly moment, okay? I don't know if you remember that. I'm not sure. Josh does. Josh is nodding at me. That's positive. So, oh yeah, Richard and Tila, I've just spotted you. You must remember this. I believe this is going to be a jelly moment, a moulding moment in our lives, okay? As a church and individuals, as we surrender, as we devote our lives to Jesus, he is going to break us, shatter us, and we are going to be in a position to be remoulded and to be on that wheel, allowing the potter to form us into new things, to experience new things. Okay, so he says, you know, everything, he's given us everything we need. Okay, it says that in Ephesians, and his grace is more than sufficient for us. Okay, so we have everything, and as this week goes on, he's going to be moulding us and forming us into whatever it's going to look like for the next period of time, okay? But he's going to mould us like the potter does, okay? So we need to be in a position to be jelly or clay. Clay is a better one, isn't it? That's biblical. Gemma's version of the Bible. We're going to be wobbly jellies, and he's going to mould us into one of those fun shapes that, you know, you put your jelly in and you turn it out and it's woo. And I don't know what that shape's going to look like. However, that's what he's going to do. Okay? So Thursday, Friday, the weekend, this week, as we're praying and fasting coming into it, as we devote, as we surrender, he's going to be moulding us, okay? He's going to be reshaping us. That might be not very nice. That might be pretty hurtful. that might be pretty ugly at times because he's got to get it right, okay? So if you wake up Wednesday and you're like, man, this is a pants day, this is a really grumpy day and I'm feeling a little bit rubbish, you might well do. But you pick yourself up, you say, okay, but I know God's molding me. Okay, I'm going to accept what God is saying, I'm going to get rid of this and I'm going to get on because I know the mold's going to be beautiful come the end of the week. Okay, so you work through it. Okay, you don't sit there and say, okay, this is a pants day. You say, but I'm being molded. I'm being formed for something better. I'm moving on. Okay, I've got his word, his truth. You're going to trust, okay, that if God says, I'm revealing this to you, and it's something that's hurtful, or it's something that isn't looking good, or it's something you really, really like, actually, and you don't want to let go of, you say, but I'm trusting you. I know you're moulding me. I know you want me in a vulnerable position because you need to mould me. Okay? If we're going to be like clay on the wheel, it's going to be vulnerable. It's going to be intimate, and it's going to be intimidating and scary. Let's be frank, yeah? If you come Thursday, Friday, and we're in here or upstairs praying, if you're face-to-face with Jesus, you're going to be a blubbering wreck on the floor, yeah? Let's be honest, okay? It's going to be intimidating, but that's fine, because it's you and God, and it's safe, and you have to trust. He is molding for good purposes. He is wanting to root out for good purposes. He is wanting to get out what you don't actually need. You know, he wants to mature you. He wants to move you on. Yeah? Because there's new things coming. You know, there's growth in this congregation that's happened over the summer. I don't know how people want to move to Scarborough. I'm like, it's great. Scarborough's beautiful, but why? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's brilliant. There is growth in this congregation. And there are different people here. There are different things going on in the town, in this church. And we need to be moulded. It's different. It's a whole new season of our church life. If we carry on with, oh, we've experienced God like that before, and this is what happened, that limits God, yeah? Because actually, if we do experience him in a similar way, our expectation can't be, well, this is what happened last time, so this is where we're going, because God will want to go up here. And we'll be like, oh, and because we're restricting it, it's never going to make it. Do you get what I mean? We need to be open-minded. We need to be remolded. We need to be just basically, this is what's gone before, this is what's going to happen now. We need to allow room for what's going to come. We need to allow room in us, yeah? And room in the church. It will be different. So, trust that he will mold you into the best form of yourself. Yeah? I went to, fun little story. My brother got married last week, which is why Dan and I went here, all the girls. And it was really sweet. He's a bit older than me, so it was really fun to finally see him settle and get married. And aww. It was very lovely. Anyway, Dan was taking the pictures for the day, and he was their photographer. And so he went to the bride's house. I think it was like 9:30 on Saturday morning, whatever. And she had 6 bridesmaids herself. It's a lot, isn't it? The mother of the bride, her auntie, there's quite a few of them all in this massive cabin that they had hired for the weekend and were all getting ready. And some of the girls, you know, were a bit like, oh, photographer, you know, hiding and not wanting to be there. Some were, if you like, prancing around and not a lot really. And Dan was like, it's all right, just ignore me. And they were like, no, I need to look good. And he was like, you know what? I'm not the paparazzi, I'm a photographer. He was like, I want to get the best picture of you because I'm a photographer and this is the wedding day. I'm not going to take a rubbish picture. Yeah? God wants the best form of yourself. He's not looking for a rubbish picture or quote or, oh, they said something silly, let's keep that on the list. You know, he's not jotting things up. He wants the best of you and the best version that you allow him to make you. He wants to make the best. Are you going to allow him to do it? Yeah? He's not the paparazzi. He's a photographer. He's looking for the best smile. He's looking for the best bits in you. However, if we don't let him in and devote, he can't do it. We restrict him. Yeah? Cool. So he wants the best. And his best is always going to exceed our expectations, blow our minds, because we never think, honestly, reality check, we never think, do we, that we are that great at something, or that actually we are that attractive, or that actually we are good. You know, we're humble Christians, we don't boast, you know, we're like, oh no, I'm just, you know, I'll be all shy and coy about this, I'm not that great at that, you know. We can boast in the Lord, yeah. You know, we are great at something, we have this brilliant attribute because God gave it to us, because God made it, yeah? So it's okay to expect the best version of ourselves to be up here. We don't have to beat ourselves down. We can say, actually, I'm good at this because God enables me. Yeah? And I know I have a probably 4 or 5 monthly cycle where Dan will come home on an evening and I'm like, yeah, I've had an all right day. It's been a bit rough. I'm not a good Christian. I really don't do anything in the church. I don't serve. I don't do this. I don't do that. And he sits there. You know, he lets me have my rant for 20 minutes. And he's like, right, have you finished? I'm like, yeah, I suppose so. And he's like, right, have you got over yourself now? Is it out? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Okay. And he really, because it's gone on since we've been married, he knows now, and he's just like, have you finished? Are you done with that? I'm like, yeah, right. He doesn't even need to say anything, because I know I'm being pathetic. I know that that's me, and it's on me, and it's my responsibility to not be that stupid. And, yeah, he's just like, okay, I'm going to get on with things. I'm like, okay. But it's just nice to get it out, okay? I understand this venting, this ranting. It is good to just get it out, because it's not in you. But, anyway, we often are disappointed with ourselves, yes? We often are, well, that wasn't very good, was it? Well, you said something silly there, didn't you? Oh, well, met that person. And we come home and we're like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, why didn't I speak to that person today? Why wasn't I more bold in this situation? Why am I now, my brain is full of things that I could have said in this situation or this situation. And you're like, we didn't fail. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah? Although we can be disappointed with ourselves, although we can beat ourselves up, that doesn't mean that we've failed. We cannot fail God, is the point I'm trying to make, and I'm not doing it very articulately. We cannot fail him. Okay? He has made us the way we are, and that is great. And that is what he wants. It's a good thing. Sorry, I feel like there should be more. No, that he's made us the way he wants us. Yes, there are times where we could say more or do more or release more gifts in different areas, but we haven't failed him, is the point I'm making. Yeah? There is nothing left to earn in God's presence. There is nothing left to earn. Yeah? It's good. I don't know, have any of you seen Big Hero 6? Yeah. Yay! I should have. You really should. This is our film of the week for the last month now, maybe. And everyone that comes around, they're like, I haven't seen it. I'm like, Elizabeth, they haven't seen it. Come on! Just to get her to put it on. I really like it. She turned 4 this morning, bless her. And she had a Big Hero 6 birthday cake and balloons and a big banner. And our dining room looks awesome. I really like him. Anyway, Big Hero 6. It's a Disney film, and it's about... Well, I don't really need to go into it. Anyway, there's a quote in that film. That's all I want to say. There's a little kid, And he's really stuck for an idea, a scientific idea. He doesn't know what to do. And literally, he's just sitting there slumming in his chair, and his big brother comes over, pulls him up the ankles, and shakes him. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, you just need to shake things up. You need to look at things from a different angle. And sometimes, this week, we just need to shake things up. We need to look at things from a different angle. Okay? I don't think God would remake something that could then be broken again. Okay? He's saved you from sin. He's remade you, given you a recreate. Start again. He's saved you from sin, and he's recreated you, okay? He's remade you into a brand new thing. Not to be broken again, but to be purposeful, but to be awesome, but to be victorious, but to be saved every single day. Yeah, salvation is a process. It is a journey every single day. So he's not there to break you again. You can't fail again. Okay? We were sinners, we were failures, we were rubbish, but we've been saved into something new. That can't happen again. Okay? We just need to shake things up. We need to look at things from a different angle. Okay? There may be lots of us that are sitting there thinking, well, I need provision in my life, I need healing in my life, I need this in my life. God hasn't done this. God hasn't done that. But how devoted are we? How much have we prioritized what we need above who God is? Because if we get that in the wrong order, I don't know whether you will see answers to what you're asking for. We have to have it God first. We have to hand everything to him. We have to devote our lives. I'm saying we have to, I have to. Because otherwise I don't know how I get through things and from day to day and different situations. I just get in a mess. As a church, if we want to see what we think we want to see, if we want to see differences, if we want to see miracles, if we want to see stuff going on, this is what I believe needs to happen. We need to become like clay on the potter's wheel. We need to be devoted. We need to be vulnerable enough for him to remold us into different ways and different shapes for new adventures. Okay? Philippians 2. For God himself is at work within you so that you want to do what is good in his eyes. He's at work within you, yeah? And you act according to his good purpose, yeah? When he fills you with his Holy Spirit, everything becomes possible. There is no restriction, there is no limitation, everything becomes possible. He is the one with good purpose. Okay, so as a church, let's nestle in close and offer our lives as a jar of clay to be filled, yeah? He has good purposes. We can't go wrong. If we stay under the shelter of the wing of the Most High, we cannot go wrong, yeah? He will do it. I think there's been... I've had lots of chats with people over the summer, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I don't feel I've been here since camp, but I have been here lots. But I feel like, I don't know, we've been away, different places. You know what it's like when you don't have family in town, you've got to do the routes. And everyone's like, yeah, so what's been happening, what's going on? And it's going to sound awful. My revelation from camp was, I can do this. Thanks. It made me feel really lame when Dan was asking me. He was like, so let's actually have a catch up. What's been going on for the last few months? You know, what's God saying? And I'm like, you know what? He's just saying relax. He's just saying, I can do this. And it's taken me My youngest is 10 months now. It's taken me 10 months to be like, I can do this. I can do this with two children. It is okay. And with Jesus, I'm like, I can do this. It's okay. I don't know what I'd thought of, actually. And I don't really know. Now I think about it, I'm like, how had I got this all in my head? Why, I don't know, why did I think some things were harder than the others? Why, I don't really know. But I just really feel relaxed. And it's okay. We can handle life. We can handle two children. We can handle going out. I can handle things. I can do things. This whole having a meltdown every 4 or 5 months of, I'm not a good enough Christian. I'm not doing enough to serve my church. Dan thought I was having one a couple of nights ago. And he started to go off. And I was like, hang on. I did not finish my sentence. If you would wait. I was about to say. Exactly. I was about to say. But I am serving my church. I just do it in my home. I don't do as it's very different for me. I don't do as much in the church building as I did 3 years ago. I used to be here like most days just doing stuff and being around and meeting people and feeling involved and yeah, I know what's going on. I've had none of that. But you know what? I do it in my home. And it's taken me a long time now to get to a point where I'm like, I can do this. And I'm no longer having my 4 or 5 month cycle as of a few months ago because I am doing a lot, but I'm doing it in my home. I'm doing it in the town. I'm doing it when I meet up with mums and I'm saying, yeah, we're in a park, sitting on a blanket with my flask of tea, and we're chatting about Jesus. Yeah. This is good. Like, yeah, that is good. Church for me. Yeah. It's not in a building. It's not here at the front. It is being out with my mums and just chilling in the park while our children play. But we're chatting about Jesus. But we're offering love to other kids in the park. But we're talking to other parents and, you know, oh, we've got a spare mug. Do you want some tea? You know, really simple things. But it's church. My dad always teases me that we should have a revolving door in our house because lots of people are in our house all the time. And quite a few people have keys to our house, which... Yeah, I know, it's always a surprise when I go home. I'm like, oh, I wonder who will be there. Sometimes no one is there. Sometimes the house is full and I'm not there. I'm like, oh, hello. So he always teases me. But I'm like, actually, that's church.
Yeah. Come on, amen.
Actually, that's us opening our house and saying, we love you. Drink my tea, eat my food. I don't really care. Have a key to our house and come in. Make yourself at home. Like, that's it. And so, yeah, I'm relaxed. This morning, I had three children during the worship. Yesterday, I was having two. And then yesterday afternoon, Charlotte was like, will you have Cameron? I was like, yeah. And Dan was like, but don't you need to be worshipping Jesus? I'm like, well, yeah, I can do that. But equally, that's my life. It's not, oh, pants, I'm preaching, quick, get down, you know, do something good, Jesus. It's in me. It really doesn't matter if, I don't know, a ridiculous amount of children were sitting on my feet this morning. My feet did hurt, actually. They were deciding to sit on them. I was like, it doesn't matter. Yeah? It's a devotion. It's a relationship. It's a, oh, Jesus, what do you want? Not, what do I think you want? Not, this is what I want to see in my town, so come on, God, why aren't you doing it? What do you want? What are you saying to me that I know if I hear those words and speak them out, it will happen because, yeah, I see a lot of, I read several books every now and again, Christian books of different people and like online and stuff, you see lots of different testimonies from Christians all the way around the world ministering in different places and doing different things and you're like, why is there miracles happening there? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And I'm like, but look at their lives. Heidi Baker, look at her life. Oh my word. That's devotion. That is what I'm like. Oh, I want to be that broken, but it scares me. Yeah, I'm being completely honest with you. It scares me to be that vulnerable, to be that broken. I struggle to cry in front of my husband. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is like, whew. But actually, that's my problem, and that's my bad, and that is pathetic. I need to be that devoted. I need to be that broken if I want to see something different. Yeah? If I want something to change, I need to do it. I need to change the angle I'm looking at. I need to pray with his intentions, yeah? Through his priorities, through his grace. I need to pray and I need to speak out of the right motives. It says in, where does it say it? 15. It says in Philippians, I've read a lot of Philippians recently, by the way, that's why it's all coming out today. In Philippians 1:15, it says, "It is a sad fact that some preach Christ out of wrong motives, of envy and rivalry, but others preach out of right motives, seeking the good of those to whom they witness." This was a whew when I read that. When I sit down with people, when I'm chatting to people, when I'm up here, what are my motives? Yeah? Do I speak out of, you know, if someone's sharing an awesome testimony, do I then try and compete with that? You know? Do you sometimes sit there and think, oh, what awesome testimony do I have to share? Or do you sit there and beat yourself up because you don't think you have any? The right motives, people. Not to speak out of jealousy or envy, but to speak out of the right motives, to speak out of a heart of righteousness, to speak through his love, through his grace. Yeah? Motives of God. When we're praying, not to be praying, God, I need to see, or I want to see, or more of whatever God, you know, that's irrelevant now. As this week goes on, our new angle as a church, I believe, should be, what do you want, God? What is your kingdom doing now? What is happening now? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to pray? Not more of you, God, not more of your spirit, not more. He's given us everything. He cannot give us anything more. We need to grab hold of what he has given, okay? He can't do any more. Yes? As we invest, as we devote more to him, okay, we will understand his purposes. We will understand our Father. And as we do that, I believe it releases more of a depth in our giftings, in what he's put in us. We believe in it more. And so we'll use it more. Yeah? As we devote ourselves and we get to know God more and have that relationship more, and we're understanding who he is and his attributes, almost more will come out of you. Because you'll understand what you're doing. You'll understand who you are. You'll understand what he has put in you. You'll understand the access you have. You'll understand that you can grab hold of things from heaven. You'll understand that there are no limits or impossibilities in him. You'll understand that your inheritance is there. You'll understand that the kingdom of God is at hand and it's here. And because we'll understand it, our mind won't be an issue. It won't restrict it. We'll be able to use it. We'll be able to grab hold of things. We'll be able to have our inheritance. We'll be able to inhabit ourselves in him. Does that make sense? Do you get what I'm saying? It's not a milestone thing. It's not a, I've been a Christian for this long, so woohoo, I've got my 10th anniversary, I get extra things from God. Like, that's not how it works. I don't know if you ever, this is what, when I was praying about it, this was what was going through my head. It's not like I've completed this level on whatever game I'm playing so I can level up and that means I get extra tools and I get extra things to have. It doesn't work like that. We were given the same when we put our faith in him and when we said, Jesus, I believe you're my Lord. We were given the same. It's just accessing it and having the confidence to use it. I think that's the difference. Yeah? Thank you. I think that is the difference. I'm processing this as it's coming out. That's the difference in our lives. Who has more confidence? Who understands it more? Who is willing to try and to use it? Might be a bit risky, might be a bit scary, might be a bit intimidating. You know, it's stretching yourself. Are you willing to access things? Are you willing to have your inheritance? Are you willing to, okay, God, go for it. See what happens. We'll give it a whirl. You know, are you willing just to have that? Or are we restricting it ourselves, okay? I think as we mature as Christians, we trust more in what God has done and what he has given us, yeah? Because we experience that relationship more. We know that love is there and it's not going to falter. It can't be broken. So that trust builds. Cool. I think we pretty much said that. That's okay. Okay, there's one more scripture that... two more if we read Hebrews. Philippians 1:27. It says, however, no matter what happens, it is important that you behave in ways that are worthy of Christ's gospel. It's a big one. It's a real big one. Do we conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? What does it look like? You know, I was like, God, what does that look like? What does it look like to behave in a manner that is worthy of your gospel? What? And he reminded me of about eight years ago now, I think. I went to Israel on a trip with Kingdom Faith. And I do remember lots from the trip, but there was one thing I just remember from the trip always, and I've never forgotten it. And we sat round on top of a mountain somewhere with a group of, I think that's what you do most of the time, in a group of people. And it was all young people, as in, I think they were kind of high school age, so what's 11 to 16, kind of young people, young kids. And we were chatting to them, and they were talking lots and giving us lots of stories about their lives and how it was there. And one of them said that most days she walks home from school crying. And I was like, oh, why? She was like, because I didn't tell my friends about Jesus. And I was like, oh. She was like, but I could get shot if I told my friends about Jesus. I was like, oh. Like, she cried and sobbed her heart out every day because she didn't tell her friends about Jesus. But the reality is, if she'd been overheard telling her friends about Jesus, she would have been killed. But she was so sad that she hadn't done it. And I'm sitting there going, why do I get scared when I get asked to go knock on a door and tell someone about Jesus? That is pathetic. Like, she would have been killed. And she was so upset and sincerely just so, God, I'm sorry, I haven't told my friends about you today. That really, really has impacted my life over 8 years now. And it still does when I think about it. And actually, a lot of the times I remind myself of that because I'm like, what right do I have? Oh, sorry, Sam. What right do I have to say, oh yeah, I didn't really feel like talking to that person today, or I was a bit grumpy, or yeah, I was a bit scared to share the gospel with that person. They were upset and clearly needed some of Jesus' love today. I have no right to deny anyone the gospel of Christ. That's my responsibility and my duty, because I said, Jesus, I love you. So I'm upholding my end of the bargain. Yeah. I said I love him, and he saved me, and as that, he gives me eternal life, but to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ is to always put him first, I believe. And to never let our emotions, our mood, our busyness, our whatever, our tiredness, our grumpy children, our whatever, get in the way of that. But if someone needs the love of Jesus, we are to give it. I feel that's really killed the room. Sorry about that. I feel like everyone's just going to sob. Don't do that, because that makes me really uncomfortable. And I don't have enough lollipops for everybody. That's generally my tactic. Oh, you're crying. Have a lollipop. I don't know what to do. It makes me really uncomfortable. It's a big scripture. It's a really big scripture. And I've ended with it because actually it's a scripture I feel we need to take away and carry with us and say, okay, what does it look like, God? How do I change my mind, my life, my actions, my speech, my whatever? And how do I implement this? How do I live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ? Because come the end of the week, I want to corporately come and devote myself to you. I think it's important that it's corporately, because then we're held to account. You know, we can't bottle it and say, yeah, I did that at home. No, we're there, we're in front of each other, we're sobbing, we're looking a mess, we're just, I'm not saying we're all going to cry, I won't cry, don't worry. I'm going to be sobbing now, aren't I? But, it's a scripture to go, I need to know this, I need to understand this, I need to know and trust it, because yeah, things are on a change, we are being moulded, and it's going to look different come next week. So it's a good thing, it's a positive thing, and be excited, because you're going to be the best version you could ever be of yourselves.
Yes,
which is a really positive thing. Cool. Is Aidan still in the room? No, he might have been. Okay, I have a song, is that okay? Yeah. I just feel, wow, I rambled on a lot. Sorry about that. I didn't have anything to say, no. I came with a song, but I really liked the song you played earlier, but then we don't have a full band, so maybe we should just play the song, because it will give Sam something to do at the back there. And just have a few minutes, just devote yourself, just kind of sum up, talk to God about whatever you've just heard, whatever you feel may have hit you or is in your heart or whatever's gone on in the last hour and a half that we've all been here. And then we'll drink coffee. Is that good? Yeah, cool.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.